front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym, where strength and flexibility meet problem solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. Blockhaven has over 200 rotating routes for beginners to Olympic climbers. Visit Blockhaven at the Judson Mill District in Greenville or online at blockhaven.com.
The Roar, the only place in the upstate where you can get 13 hours of live and local sports talk daily. Oh, believe me, we've checked. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
GrassNerds.com. We haven't gotten that nerdy today here at Wendy's in Clemson, but just wait. We've got a nerd alert coming. GrassNerds.com. Let them take care of your lawn. Let them take care of your yard. Let them make it the best that it could possibly be. These are local folks, local and operated business that's exploding, and they have tremendous retention rates because people understand that you can't just do a cookie cutter one size fits all for the entire an entire region or entire nation or whatever. That yards in the upstate are particular, all right? And if you've tried to care for one, you know. And your lawn is not like the guy a block over from you necessarily. That's why all their plans come with a soil sample analysis, absolutely free. For more, go to grassnerds.com. That is grassnerds.com. Before we get to Will Vandevort, as we continue to move Tigers for Tata's merchandise here out front of Wendy's in Clemson, let's go to Tiger fan Becca, who joins us next and basically waited through the break. Hey, Becca.
Hey, Walt. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for getting in.
Hey. Wrong time of day.
I know what
Wrong
you meant. You're
day.
Good.
We'll answer to anything.
So, and then I hope you guys are doing amazing. But so I got in FactSign on Monday, and everyone's making some really good points about our current situation in the football program. I think where the fans are as a fan base is I'd rather see us lose with effort, integrity, and someone who cares than to even give us the chance to win with people who don't. Like, why even, well, we already know the effort we're getting. So what's the likelihood that we're going to win with those players on the field anyway? I mean, we couldn't beat SMU. We couldn't beat Georgia Tech. We barely beat Troy. We couldn't beat LSU. Like, at what point do you say, well, the likelihood that we're going to win with the people on the field anyway is none. Slim to none, because we can't win with them on the field. So why not prepare the others? Why not? I agree with the last caller. Let somebody get out there that's going to be scrappy, that doesn't care about getting dirty, that's actually going to try to tackle somebody on defense. Like, why not see that? I think the fans would, like, from what I've, like, conversations I've had, they're less enthused about us going to a bowl game than more enthused about us seeing someone who cares on the football field.
You know, Becca, I think it's a great point. I've said this many times, and I agree with you, and I appreciate the phone call. I'm going to bring Will Vandevort in on this because I do think you made some really good points there. I do think that fans, at the end of the day, once you decide this is not a championship team, I think fans just want to be proud of their football team. I do. And I think Clemson fans are willing to be proud of a team that's not a championship team. I think it's jarring that they don't have a championship team. But I don't think fans are proud of this team.
No, I don't either. And I agree with what Becca said, but I also don't think that's reality. Because that is suggesting that fans are not going to care about winning here on out. See, what you want are the backups and to win.
That's a great point.
You know,
great
and, point. And yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, yeah. As she's talking, I'm thinking about Tennessee football this past year. Like, and I did this too. I patted Tennessee on the back for doing the right thing with Nico. But if Joey Aguilar is not winning at Tennessee right now, you've forgotten all about all the moral high ground you took with Nico. And doggone it, I don't care that we're 4-8 because we did the right thing with Nico. That's not what would be being said right now. If Clemson loses the rest of the games, nobody's going to say, well, you know, at least we played the backups. It's just not going to happen.
That's a great point.
I wish it would. I mean, in theory, Becca's right. I just don't think that's the reality.
But you can't prove a negative. You can't prove that the starters would have also lost that game. Like everybody says, well, we're going to lose with Cade or Vezina. Man, you can't. Whoever plays is going to win or lose, and you can't prove that the other one would have done something different. Let's bring Will Vandervoort in on this. I think fascinating conversation. Willie V, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're just peachy. Just, you know, slinging merch and raising money on a Wednesday. All right, by the way, follow him at SteelerWill on Twitter, theclemsoninsider.com. Read his great work there. And check him out on the Believe Podcast Network as well with our friend Alex Dodd, who's always up for a good time. Let me ask you that question. I mean, we're talking about just basically being proud of the team, and you'd rather, if you're going to lose, you'd rather lose with backups. I mean, walk us through your thought process of that and sort of in light of my comment that I think it still is a point of pride to some degree in the program that they've been bowl eligible every year since 1999. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. You're not – no. Fans aren't going to be happy with backups losing. No. I can tell you that right now. I'm on the message boards a lot. I read what they're saying. Would they want to see some guys get more time? Yes. Would they be okay that they lost because they lost the backups? No. No. That's like me saying I'll be okay if the Steelers lose with their second string offense or defense. No, if the Steelers lose, I'm mad. I don't care who's playing. I'm mad regardless. And so, you know, as a Steelers fan, I look at it that perspective, right? And so should you give some guys like Jaheim Lawson maybe more of a look, start him? Yeah. You know, I do believe Kate Klubnik's your best opportunity to win. I was at that game Saturday, and if you want to win, which is the goal – every week is to win the game, then you've got to put your best guy out there to win. And at that point, I think Cade is far and above beyond Christopher Vezina, you know, from what I saw. Now, Vezina did good the other day, and he did well, and he exceeded my expectations, but is he a better quarterback than Cade Klubnik? No. There's other things out there, like, you know, I think if Cade Klubnik plays, Clemson wins that game probably by two scores Saturday. There's no doubt in my mind Clemson lost that game because they didn't have their starting quarterback. Because I think early in the game, there's situations that stuff that even with how bad the offensive line played, and they played horrible. Oh, my gosh, the offensive line played horrible. But even with that, Cade would have saw some things SMU was doing defensively, and he would have taken advantage of that, like bringing their safety down, firing their safety down like they were doing. Oh, my gosh, I think Cade would have had a field day with that early in that game. You know, where it took Clemson almost three quarters before they finally, you know, before Vezina finally felt comfortable and started doing that, taking advantage of that. So – those are little things like that. And as far as other positions, I think guys that are there, like, I don't see a drop-off with T.J. Parker and Jaheim Lawson. There's no drop-off. Actually, I think Lawson might be better. So I'm like, I'm fine with a guy like Lawson getting the thing. So you got to kind of take it in an individual case each time. I don't think you can just say, let's throw the backups out there and bench all the starters, and we'll see if we win, and we'll be okay if we lose because we gave the backups a good – you know, ho-hum, they did the best they could. No, that ain't going to fly. I'm telling you, that ain't going to fly.
Listen, I agree with you 100%. The question is, because a lot of fans are ready to give up on the season. What would you – I mean, because I've said, you know, I think the bowl-eligible streak is a big deal. I do. And I don't know that fans – I don't know if fans feel that way or not. I think fans probably should take some pride in that, and that 5-7 and 6-6 are not the same. What would you say to that?
I say they're not because it's a different world of college football we live in now than in 1999. And it's about making the college football playoff, and let's just call it what it is. I mean, I'll be honest, I'll say it from a media standpoint. I don't really care if Clemson goes to a bowl game or not from a media standpoint because – to me, it's like they're not worth anything. Nobody really seems to care from the fan standpoint. And, you know, it's not like going to a college football playoff game. It's not. It's not even close from a coverage standpoint. As far as, like, what we get, what we experience on the back end that people don't see, how press conferences are held, things of that nature, it's not even in the same realm, you know. So does a fan care? No, because it's not the same anymore. It's just not. It's not. You know, the Gator Bowl was the worst experience from a media member I've ever experienced in a bowl game 2 years ago. The worst. Hands down, the worst. And, you know, if that's what it's going to be like every time, well, how does the fan feel about it? How's the fans being treated in the bowl experience, right? Is it just a game? Well, if it's just a game, I'll show up on game day and go cheer on the team or, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, but other than that, it's just a game. I think that's kind of how fans look at it. I really don't think that it's the same way. You know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe fans can call in and tell you that I'm wrong. But that's how I get out of it, just reading the message boards and then what's tweeted at me and stuff like that, just that they don't seem to care about a bowl game. They more care less about, are they going to make the college football playoff? Are they going to be a team that can have that chance to make the college football playoff? Can they win the conference championship? That's kind of what fans now, to modern-day college football fans, were at. And this is what I knew was going to happen when the college football playoff started. This is what was going to happen. And the more they expand it, the more this happens. These bowl games become meaningless, not only for the fans, but we're already seeing it's meaningless for the players because they're exiting out of it left and right, and it's also meaningless to the media.
Look, I agree. I'm not going to argue with any of that. I just mean for the continuity of, like, hey, for 25 years I've been bowl eligible. Like Georgia and I did neglect to mention Ohio State. Georgia and Ohio State, the only teams have been bowl eligible more years than Clemson has in a row. Like, you don't even have to care about bowls. But to me, that matters. You haven't had a 4-8. You haven't had a 3. You've been consistent as all get out. Nobody's been consistent like this.
Yeah, no, I agree and I understand, but right now, Clemson fans have seen every streak come to an end this season. Like, this is the first time since 1970, 71 that they've lost five straight games at home to a power conference opponent. I mean, they just want to see Clemson win a game against somebody that matters. You know, somebody
but do
has
they?
The Colts.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
They do.
I don't think they do. I don't think fans do. I don't think fans care. From here on out, here's what I think. I don't think fans care whether they win or lose from here on out because they think the season's done.
But that's
my argument.
Well, I hope that's not the case. That's not good for your business or mine.
Right. that's true.
We hope that's
true.
Not the case. But you know, but this is the first time since 2001 they've lost three home games in the same season. You know, you know, so a lot of firsts are happening. And by the way, if they lose to Duke, if that should happen, it would be the first time since 1980 they've lost to Duke at home. So, like, there's a lot of things going on that. You know, that the fans are like, okay, well, this is already ending, and this is ending, so why not this end? You know, so that's the kind of way they're looking at it. Like, you know, and maybe that is the apathy, what you're talking about. And I hope that's not the case, but, you know, I get it if it is, I'll be honest with you. But right now, the good news is fans are still upset. We're on Wednesday, and fans are still upset. And they're still talking about it, and we'll see how that carries into next week as they get ready for game week. But the good news is fans are upset. And when fans are upset, that means the apathy has not set in yet.
That means they're clicking on Will Vandervoort's pieces at theclemsoninsider.com. That's exactly right.
Yes, exactly. Are they watching the podcast?
That's exactly right. All right, Tom Allen's press conference yesterday. You want to talk about a guy who wants the season to be over? Did you not get the sense in that press conference that Tom Allen is, like, ready to get – new coaches, new players, new everything? He wouldn't say – he's too nice of a guy. He's not going to say that. But, man, everything
right.
He did say, Willie V, tells me that he is over it.
Yes, he is – I got the sense that he's definitely ready to bring in some new players. There's no doubt. I got the sense, read between the lines, like he's ready to go hit the portal and let's go get it. Let's go do it. Let's go find some guys that can come in that want to come in and help. Let's go find that – Alexander, right? Let's go find that Tristan Smith. Let's go find that Will Helt. Need about 10 more of those guys on defense, right? I think that's kind of where he's at because some of the guys just aren't showing they care, you know, and I think, you know, he did say yesterday that guys are giving effort and he said the right things and all, but I also got the sense he's ready to replace some guys. So that tells me maybe some guys aren't giving effort or they're not doing what they need to do or not working hard enough. I don't know. You know, I just know that it did come off like he was ready to kind of go hit that portal and bring some new people in. I don't think he's given up on the season. Now, I think from the coaches, you know, coaches and players want to win just as bad as the fans do. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And so I don't think that's the case in any stretch of the imagination. You know, so I think he's going to be doing everything he can to win the next game. But at the same time, he is looking forward, and I'm sure he's anxious to kind of get out there and recruit and see if they can get some of those, maybe whoever comes in the portal, they can get some portal guys in that can help the team next year so they can be better. And, Quark, I want to say this, too, because I heard a lot of people criticize the defense, and deservedly so, and I'm one of them. But I also want to point out this, and I pointed that on a podcast. Clemson, when Brent Venables was the coach in 2012, his first year, it was not good. They gave up in week 11. They gave up 48 points to NC State. Okay? Luckily, they had Taj Boyd, and they were able to score 62 points. Right? But they weren't good Brent Venables' first year as defensive coordinator. They were really bad. And so, like, people need to kind of put things in perspective. Like, I think you guys mentioned it. He's got to get his guys in there, how he wants this team to look, defense to look, and what he needs to make it work. And right now, he's just dealing with what leftovers he got from Wes Goodwin. And so, like, he needs to get his guys in there, and that's kind of what he wants to do. He's going to coach up the guys he's got now the best he can, but he's anxious to go out and get his own guys, just like Brent Venables was back in 2012.
No question about it, Willie V. There's no doubt. Hey, real quick, we're about out of time, but I want to ask you about Eric Bakich and his comments yesterday. Fascinating stuff. Anything in particular stand out to you from his commentary?
Well, it sounds like, and JP told me this too, that they got some pretty good pitchers that coming in that were young guys that got some good velocity on their balls. Hopefully those guys can stay healthy, because that seems to be the problem with the young guys when they come in, right, Qualk? And so because they need pitchers this year. If Clemson ever needed pitchers in baseball, this is the year. They need them. They need somebody to come in and help out Aiden Kanock and get some stability on that starting weekend lineup. And and that's the main thing. You know, he did mention that, yeah, those guys look good, but it's a long way to go until they get to the spring. They got to keep them healthy. We got to make sure that they can do the things consistently they need them to do from a pitching standpoint. So I kind of took about that. And then there's a whole bunch of other things talked about, obviously, yesterday when it came to the transfer portal and what he looks for. And very similar to Dabo Swinney with what he looks for in the transfer portal. If you haven't watched that, if the fans haven't watched that, then go to our website on our YouTube and check that out. It's very similar to the way Dabo Swinney thinks about the transfer portal as far as, you know, who gets paid more in retention and that kind of stuff. So I would go check it out if you can. But I thought that was interesting to listen to those comments as well.
Great stuff from Will Vandenborre. Check him out at theclemsoninsider.com, the Believe Podcast Network, and at Steeler Will on Twitter. Thanks, buddy. Always great to get your insights. Win or lose, we know you'll still be here on Wednesday, so we appreciate that.
Hey, Quark, thanks, man. Appreciate it, buddy. Sorry to so negative, everybody.
You know, it's a negative week. Oh, negative guy. There he is, negative guy. What do you want me to do, Will?
What do you want me to do?
Oh, man, Will Vandenborre, great guy.
As I told a texter, the views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the hosts of this show. But we love Willie V anyway.
It's amazing. It's amazing. All right, Dre Bryce, we're coming to you on the other side, live at Wendy's in Clemson. Hour three continues right after this.
It's the Upstate Veterans Alliance 10th Annual South Carolina Veteran Upstate Salute, honoring veterans and first responders at Floor Field in downtown Greenville. See the Special Forces Jump Team, Aerial Flyover, Drill Team Exhibitions, Rifle Salute, and more. Featuring music from country artist Darryl Worley with opener Ryan Spencer. Sunday, November 9th, the salute to our veterans and first responders at Floor Field, downtown Greenville. Tickets just $5 at upstatesalute.com. Gates open at 2 with a concert at 4. Honor our veterans and first responders with country artist Darryl Worley. Sunday, November 9th. Honor the men and women who served to keep us free and safe. Go to upstatesalute.com for tickets and more information.
Discover exceptional value and reliability at Toyota of Easley, where your satisfaction is our top priority. Whether you're in the market for a sleek sedan, a rugged SUV, or a fuel-efficient hybrid, we've got the perfect vehicle for you. Our friendly team is ready to assist with personalized service and unbeatable offers. Don't miss out on the chance to drive home your dream Toyota. Visit us today at Toyota of Easley and experience the difference.
Enjoy elevated living at Sunrise in Pendleton, just minutes from Clemson, starting in the mid-300s. Customized versatile one- and two-story home plans with luxury design selections in their 3,900-square-foot design studio. The pool amenity opens next year, along with natural walking trails. Live close to Lakes Hartwell and Kiwi, shopping in Anderson, and enjoy quick access to I-85. Sunrise encompasses convenience and lifestyle in a convenient location. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com to discover elevated living in the upstate.
How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower. The list goes on, and we're going to inspect it for free.
The plumber whose name is his number, One Time Plumber. One Time Plumber.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Your food is best when you know where it comes from. AMPM Farms offers beef raised here in the upstate, along with 70 vendors featuring raw milk, farm and dairy products, and more. Weekly wild game and burger flights, AMPM Farms is providing your family the very best. Plan your next meal, cookout, or tailgate with AMPM Farms. 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville and Travelers Rest, 164 South Main in Fountain Inn, 3085 Ellen Bridge Road. Online, AMPM Farms, Butchery and Market.com.
Accidents happen. If you've been injured in a car, motorcycle, or boating accident, you need to seek legal help as soon as possible. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, can evaluate your case to help you get the full compensation you deserve. The call and the consultation are completely free. Don't wait. Call today. 864-654-3680. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Ariat delivers the best in men's Western apparel for the job site, the rodeo, and date night. Ariat offers a wide selection of patterns and styles, from plaids and checks to embroidered prints. Color-rich solids, Ariat's performance shirts are tailored with advanced movement features. From fabrics designed with cooling comfort and sun protection technology, from retro to classic, new west to old, whatever your style, Ariat has you covered. Shop Ariat at Harrison's and Malden in Spartanburg or harrisonsusa.com. Harrison, the home of work, Western, and wow!
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Clemson Country, college football fans, this is your show, and this is The Roar.
Baby, don't give up.
All right, hour three continues. Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks for joining us. You know, there are some people who want to see Clemson win. I'm glad to see that, because a lot of y'all on the text line earlier in the show were like, play the kids, we don't care. So I'm glad some folks are battling back on that one. Hey, I want to tell you about Nick Lavery. Go by and see him right there behind Mellow Mushroom. We were there a little bit earlier. Go to the website, nicklaverylaw.com. This is a guy that knows how to get results for you if you're in a bind. Particularly, his passion is for college students and their parents. When your college students get jammed up for the first time with an MIP or a DUI or something like that, just it's hard to know where to turn. It could be a real freak-out moment for you and your family. So let Nick be the representation that guides you along that path. Everybody needs a Nick Lavery, and we just happen to have him here in Clemson. So go by and see him. Free consultation. Go to the web, nicklaverylaw.com.
He's right over there.
Right over there.
Right over there.
That's exactly
hey,
right.
Hey, before we go to Dre and Bryce, the one thing Becca said, though, is true, and we're talking about who plays because of a Tiger fan Becca called. One thing she said is 100% true. The guys that you're seeing play now are not winning games. So it's not like you're – it's not the trade-off between the winning group and the losing group.
That honestly, that's a great that you know, is a great point. And you know what?
My point is that, you know, if you were to lose the rest of them, no one's going to give you a pass because you lost the rest of them and played the backups. You're still going to be mad. You want to do both. You want to win.
That's right.
But Becca's absolutely right. You're seeing a whole lot of losing with quote unquote, you know, starters.
Great, honestly, great point. Let's go to Dre in Greenville, who's up with us next. Dre, thanks for your patience.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
We're doing great, man. Hope you're doing well.
Aw, oh, man, I'm trying to do all right, trying to process this Clemson football team, man, still. I think it's fair to say, you know, we looked good a couple weeks ago because we were playing a horrible UNC team and we were playing a beat-up Boston College team. I think that's fair to say. Right now, my biggest question is, okay, we're having a bad season. But my question is from here, like, I'm interested to see what happens after this season. Because we've been so far off the standard since losing to LSU in the national championship game in 2019. It feels like nothing has gotten better and the bottom has finally fell out. And honestly, like, I hate to be this guy, but it feels like the sky is falling, and it feels like it's all coming crashing down, and it's just unrepairable at this point. How do you guys feel about that?
Listen, I don't disagree. I think you're right, Dre. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Go ahead.
Let me answer that real quick for you, and I'll let you ask your second question. I agree with your sentiment. That because this is, and I think there's two things going on here, because the season has been historically difficult because of home losses, because of who you've lost to, because of how you've lost, because of how you've played. That's number one. That's not even considering how jarring it is that a potential national championship team that was called a national championship team for some legitimate reasons. I don't think anybody is looking back and being like, okay, where did we totally miss this? I think for sure we should have been listening more to Ben's misgivings, but Ben, you've even said, you know, you didn't think they were going 6-6 or 5-7.
No.
So, I mean, even the people who were pessimists didn't think that Clemson was going to be like this. So, to me, those two things in tandem have this feeling like the sky's falling, the bottom's falling out. I'm not going to argue with any Clemson fan who feels that way, Dre, so I think you're 100% right.
All right. Second thing I wanted to get in on, it's not really more of a question. This is more just a PSA to all my Clemson fans out there. Be mindful of what you post on the internet about these players. It's one thing to criticize, but I've seen some people just go off the rails with how they talk about these players. You never know who's in these Facebook groups or seeing your post on Twitter. Recruits could be seeing it. Parents of recruits can be seeing it. And you're jeopardizing Clemson from getting these recruits because if they see you say one thing, that can mean the difference of them committing to Clemson or not. So I understand it's been a bad season, and we have a lot to complain about and criticize. But just be mindful of your criticism against these players, guys. That's all I have to say. I'll take everything else off the air.
Thanks very much, Dre. Appreciate the phone call. I think it's a good rule. I think it's a good rule of thumb in athletes generally, like not to involve athletes in our anger online. I also will say, man, this is not to absolve anybody. I'm not trying to give a blanket pardon to anybody for not playing well. But man, I've said this before. I've been around athletic teams for a dozen years. I've been in locker rooms. I've been on trips. I've been on buses, planes, trains, and automobiles. Okay, I've been in hotels. You have no idea on the outside why somebody's playing poorly. There are a million things outside of what, outside of just you played bad that play or you weren't ready to play today that are impacting these young people. Like I said, I'm not telling you you're not allowed to be frustrated and upset that people who are making $1 million are playing poorly. I would say that you don't know what's going on. You don't know if guys are playing through injury and they're not saying. You don't know if guys are having personal issues and they're not saying. They're trying to tough it out. You don't know. And again, I'm not saying that there is something like that in every case, but because you don't know, you probably shouldn't act like these guys are terrible because they want to be terrible. You know? I just feel like I need to say that. Just sticking up for athletes broadly in that way.
Texture said, we need to get a telephone number and commercial set up like one Tom Plummer and have it be one Tom Allen for prospects and transfer portal to call.
Can we get him to voice that?
One
Tom Allen. Are your arms longer than a fruit by the foot?
If you can dial a rotary phone while sitting up and it's on the table. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that would make you have a long
your
arms.
Reach.
These kids don't know what a rotary phone is.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. No, you know, that would be old school. We're looking for old school guys with an old school mentality. Let's go to Bryson Easley, who's up with us next. Hey, Bryce.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Quick
yes,
point and followed by a quick question. 2025 is not an outlier for Clemson football. In my opinion, this is really the culmination of a mentality change that started like 5 years ago. I think Clemson fans know enough ball to understand that sometimes things just don't work out. And as a total fan base, really good-natured people. But what I can't accept is us not doing everything humanly possible to be the most successful. Terry Don Phillips gave Dabo a chance. Dabo continued on to win more than any other Clemson coach in history. But his mentality changed when he started seeing consistent success. He thought he could do whatever. The old fire me, I'll go coach somewhere else. Post-game Georgia Tech was a premium example of that. I think the mentality that he got post-success transferred to how he set up his staff. In my opinion, I don't think people talk about it enough, but there is absolutely zero reason to have Will and Drew Sweeney on our coaching staff. Dabo can make a phone call to any program in the country and get his kids a job. Why do they feel the need to come coach here at Clemson? And it's 33 former players or first-time coaches. Everybody's getting a shot. If you don't like it, then Dabo will go somewhere else. Well, it's coming to a head now where winning is taking a back seat to giving people a shot and doing the right thing. I think you mentioned it the other day on there. We don't care what our graduation rate is. I don't care how good of a character all these guys. Those are winning problems. Those are things that you address when you're doing too much winning. We're not doing any winning. I want to see us go get some dogs to go get in a bar fight somewhere and show a little grit. We're competitive people here. That'll lead to my question. Has there been enough pressure on Dabo to fire his kids, or does he make it through the end of this year and just decide that this isn't for him anymore?
Bryce, let me ask you a question. And listen, I agree with the majority of things you just said until you got to Will and Drew Sweeney. Of all the issues that you have seen, and you sound like a smart guy and you've watched a lot of football, of everything that you have seen with Clemson football, why would you drop to the level of coaching where Will and Drew Sweeney are to target them when your own on-the-road coordinators and coaches are failing miserably? Why would you go that low down the totem pole?
I don't necessarily think that it's going down low or a low blow by any means. I mean,
I'm not saying low blow, but I mean, you do know what their job is relative to the on the field coaches, though, right?
Oh, well, yeah, 100%. I don't necessarily think that, you know, wide receivers can't get separation, that it's Sweeney's kids' fault. I think that that's just a reflection of the mentality of how Dabo orchestrates his staff. I mean, I would be curious to ask Garrett Riley, you know he's going to have some coaching opportunities and he moves on from TCU to come to Clemson, but why would you accept a job where you know that you're going to be in the limelight a lot, knowing that you can't bring your own guys with you? I understand Dabo's position on it all. If a coordinator leaves or gets fired or whatever, that allows for blocking a mass exodus on your staff. But at the same time, like, don't you feel like you would kind of be handcuffed in coming in to be successful if you're playing by somebody else's rules and not coming in to do the job that they hired you to do?
Well, let me ask this. How many people did Chad Morris bring with him?
Yeah, no idea. I'm assuming that Dabo probably had this stance from the get-go.
He brought one guy. It was a low-level staffer. Brent Venable, same thing. Now, the low-level staffer was Wes Goodwin, but he brought him with him. The point is, and I understand what you're saying, Bryce, but what people are failing to recognize is that Dabo didn't just do this because it never worked. The reality is that Dabo may have overcommitted to a lot of this stuff, and he may have thought that he could make any decision and bring anybody in and not have to vet and not have to do any of this. He might have thought that, but the reality is that he did promote Jeff Scott twice and won two national championships, and he did bring in Tony Elliott with very little industry experience as a former player of his, and it helped him. And even now he brings in Ben Bulware. And I think Ben Bulware's done the best job of any assistant on the staff on defense based on what Tom Allen's saying. And, Bryce, we're up against the break. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Listen, I understand Bryce's gripe there, but I don't think Clemson gets anywhere fixing not the problem.
That's me. And, I agree with most of what he said. By the way, Tom Allen brought his son with him.
That's right. That's
kind of conveniently forget
about. That's one. But he's done a fine – nobody said he's done a bad job.
Will and Drew Sweeney being – GAs and then promoted to whatever they are now did not prohibit Garrett Riley from bringing his people. Those are not the people he would bring, is what I'm saying.
Right.
I think the coach's sons are convenient targets, and that's not the bullseye that has anything to do with the problem here.
What I said, and I said this Monday, and I'm going to reiterate that because not everybody listens all the time. But what I said Monday is that people would be shocked at how many former players and people who were ex-managers were vitally important behind the scenes when Clemson was going to the playoff every year.
Yeah.
They did not have an army of highly qualified coaches that were paid millions of dollars and came down four rungs on the ladder. That's not what happened.
We do have to go to break. I would also point out Will and Drew Sweeney have kind of following the same track of their father, who started as a low-level staffer and has worked his way up. They also have, I mean, we do talk about people like that from the almost like making it sound like they don't even know what a football is. They have lived in a football home their entire life and both played 4 years in a football program. And they have been around the staff and this culture. It's not as if they are completely unqualified either.
Right, that's right.
They are qualified for the job they are doing, which is not a very high-level job. I mean, relative to the other people in the building. I guess that's my point. You want to attack an assistant, there's many that I think are much more deserving than Will and Drew Sweeney.
And you know what? You want to say that there's bloat in that back-of-house coaching staff? I'm okay with listening to that. I just think nobody even cared who those people were when they were winning, and yet they were very, very important and highly qualified people. And I don't think you're entitled to have future coordinators and recruiting coordinators and head coaches and general managers like you did in like 2013, 2015,
right.
2017. Tony, Tom, we're coming to you on the other side. Final segment live from Wendy's in Clemson is next.
You've waited all summer for the weather to get a little cooler. Now it's getting a little cooler, and why don't you join about 2,000 of your coolest friends every Thursday night for Jazz on the Alley in downtown Seneca. It's outside dining, great live music, and you come on and join the party. Here's just a few sounds. Might want to bring your chairs. chairs just in case, because the tables and chairs go very quickly. And then join us every Thursday night at 5:30 for the Happy Hour Artists. This is a chance for up-and-rising young emerging artists to debut their talents right here at Jazz on the Alley. It's every Thursday night. If you want to know what's happening and who's playing, it's so easy. Just follow us on Facebook at Seneca SC Events. And then grab your friends, your cool friends, and join about 2,000 of your other friends every Thursday night right here in downtown Seneca for a little jazz.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Male is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch, not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
Turn on the fun and see where the light takes you. Cash Pop from the South Carolina Education Lottery is easy to play with tons of chances to win. Pick a number from 1 to 15 and you could win up to $2,500, or play all 15 numbers and you're guaranteed to win. So let the good times glow with Cash Pop, the light of the party. Get more details at sceducationlottery.com.
A fan favorite for almost 4 decades, Tigertown Graphics has been designing and printing t-shirts in downtown Clemson since 1988. Looking for a vintage vibe with a modern twist? Check out our latest collection of classic styles and current concepts. Find us at 360 College Avenue or shop online anytime at tigertowngraphics.com. For 37 years, it's where Tigers get their stripes.
Welcome back to this year's football season. Continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure we're a part of your Clemson tradition. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfilet.com or through the Chick-fil-A app.
I'm having such a great time tailgating, but now's the moment to go.
Go where? The game's an hour away.
I need the porta potty.
Thankfully, that's never a problem at Death Valley, unless the lines are too long.
Little John Portable Toilets have been serving Clemson football games for over 25 years. Their toilets are orange, which gets fans fired up for the game, and they are super clean. They even have restroom trailers. Whether construction or special events, Little John is the go-to. LittleJohnToilets.com. That's LittleJohnToilets.com.
Whether it's cruising around the neighborhood or hanging out with friends at the tailgate, do it in style with a golf cart from Elite Custom Golf Carts. Let their friendly staff help you find the perfect ride for you and your family. Call today to ask about their free delivery to over 10 U.S. states and flat rate delivery to many more. Now with 3 locations, call or stop in and see what makes Elite Custom Golf Carts the Upstate's golf cart superstore. Visit them at EliteCustomGolfCarts.com. Proudly owned by a Clemson alumni. Go Tigers!
Want to be closer to the action on game day? Check out Hunter Quinn's brand new townhomes at The Landing at Clemson Marina. These luxury maintenance-free homes are perfect for Tiger fans. Wake up on game day just minutes from the stadium, skip the traffic, fire up the grill, and make it to Death Valley before the first tailgate tent goes up. And after the final whistle, you can be back on the couch before the post-game press conference even starts. The Landing at Clemson Marina, your tailgate headquarters.
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that. Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
The only place for sports talk of the Upstate is right here, every day. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
See my share of broken halos, broken wings that used to.
Final segment of the program. Glad to have you here. Nice to see everybody stop by at Wendy's in Clemson. A lot of good donations. People coming by getting Tigers for Tata's merchandise.
We did have the Cinnabons in that last break in honor of assistant coach Billy Donlin.
Shout out to
great,
Billy.
Great, great recommendation by Coach D there.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. All right, let's fly through some. Let's fly through, folks. We got Tony and Tom and Paul and Michael. We'll start with Tony in Columbia. What's up, Tony?
Hey guys, how are y'all doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for getting in.
Good, good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, the last caller, man, said a lot of things in terms of, you know, what I'm thinking as well and everything. Yeah, you know, we do need a complete mentality change. We need some dogs, man. You know. We're always bragging about our culture. I'm saying our culture. I've been a Clemson fan for, I don't know, 30, 35 years or whatever the case may be. You know, we are a proud fan base. We deserve a better product on the field. You know, overall, you know, we have a proud fan base. Man, these coaches have paid a lot of money, the rest of us. You know, we have to work and everything. We don't hire coordinators or coaches. You know, fans have a right to be upset. You know, and I don't think you would want it just the opposite. You know, you want a passionate fan base, you know, and we're hoping that Coach, man, will turn it around and do the right things. I hear you guys giving Coach Sweeney a lot of grace and everything. And, you know, we have upset fans, and you always have your outliers with, you know, crazy fans and that sort of thing. But we need just a reset of this program, and we're hoping that he will do it. So those are my comments. And I'll just end with this. You know, at some point, man, these fans will flip on him. They'll flip on Coach Sweeney, just like you see these other programs doing. I don't even think, you know, if we're going in about halfway through next season like this, I don't even think he'll make it. I think he would walk away. I think his pride would just would force him to walk away. You know, I don't see him trying to, you guys pay me out and all this stuff like that. I think he would just do the right thing, but. We are hoping that he gets it right. We don't need to restart this program over. Him stepping away, man, would push us back years. Nobody wants to come behind a legend, and that's what Coach Sweeney is. But it's just different times that we're living in. So hopefully he'll make the adjustments, and go Tigers.
Tony, I think it's very well said. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. I've said this, and we'll go right to Tom. I think even if you doubt whether Dabo can do this, I don't. Ben, I think you said you don't doubt that Dabo can do this. I think people would have to acknowledge that it feels like he's the best man for the job. And so if he can't, and he's the best man, then that says that's a totally – I mean, that's like – that is the pit of despair right there. Let's go to Tom the Buckeye, who's up with us next. Nope, actually, wait a minute. I hit Paul by mistake. Sorry, Paul, we're coming to you. There's Tom. What's up, Tom?
Hey, just want to give you my thoughts on these coaching things, and I've listened to a bunch of the last phone calls, and just kind of want to give you my take, and that is that, you know, coaching is such a, I want to say delicate, but you've got to have people that you're totally in sync with. Let's go back to Tony Elliott. Let's go back to Brent Venables. They had a coaching staff that totally was in sync. Now, I'll just throw Ohio State in, that our defensive coordinator left and went to Penn State. How's that worked out? You know, he did a great job, you can say, at Ohio State, but the new guy's done better. And, you know, I just think getting coaches that can mesh with – everybody uses the word culture, but look at what's happened at UCLA just by changing the play caller. And – you know, that team looked as inept as any team in college football. And the last 3 weeks, I'm really interested to see this Indiana game because I think that they can do some things in that game. How coaching matters, and I do think it starts at the top. I think that a lot of these comments about Dabo's kids, I think are kind of low blows in that they're lower staff level people. And if anyone could help, you know, keep the culture alive, it would be guys that were in the program, part of the family, and lived as players. The problems are much higher at the top, and whether he's in sync with your defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator, I haven't seen it, and maybe that's where I would start. That's my two cents.
Tom, what Tom, great points. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
And, yeah, I couldn't agree with Tom more. And, again, my point to that to the caller a while ago, it's not that I am in complete agreement that staff changes need to be made. And I think they will be. It's just it, singling out two people. In my opinion, you're singling them out because their last name's Sweeney. I don't know if they're good at their job. I don't know if they're bad at their job. I know that they are targets because their last name is Sweeney, and I just don't think that's fair. So, I agreed with everything else that caller said, except till we got to that point. And you know, you and I were talking during the break, and Paul, we're coming to you. Those like Miguel Chavis at Oklahoma right now. You know, Brent Venables took him with him. Because he was comfortable and he was an up and comer, and I think he's gonna be at DC somewhere really soon. If he was still at Clemson, we would be lumping him into that friends and family category.
Brent Venables just yesterday said this is the best defensive coaching staff I've ever been on.
Really?
Yes, he said that just yesterday. That includes Todd Bates, that everybody was happy to get rid of, who's the associate head coach and co-defensive coordinator. That includes Miguel Chavis. That includes Wes Goodwin. I mean, guys, that's like Todd Bates was from Jacksonville State, and we could do better, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
Miguel Chavis and Wes Goodwin. We know the conversation's there. Jacob Maloney is the director of ops. That's a Clemson walk-on. Like, it's the same thing, and he says it's the best. You gotta fix what's wrong and not fix what's not wrong. Let's go to Paul and Henry, who's up with us next. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys, I'm like the last caller. I got 100% faith in Dabo Sweeney. And I had a guy tell me this, well, he ain't going to fire any of them guys. But Dabo will fire you in a heartbeat. But, you know that. And if you're a true Clemson fan, you know that. He's not going to hang on to you just because he loves you or whatever. He'll fire you regardless, you know. They four coaches on that team. It needs to be fired, in my opinion. And let me ask you something. Who is in charge of the, I'm not sure. Who is in charge of the linebackers?
That's Ben Bulware is the linebackers
coach. And I heard you say a while ago that you think he's doing a good job.
Well, Bulware and Tom Allen's son.
And Thomas Allen. Yeah. Well, it's not me. Tom Allen is the one that said Bulware was doing a good job.
Well, I don't think he's going to throw any of these coaches under the bus anyway. I don't think he's that type of guy. But I just wanted to ask you that question. And do you really think he's doing a great job? Y'all guys have a great day. I know you're up against ours. Appreciate you.
Thanks very much, Paul. Appreciate the phone call. I just think, listen, the point that I made is I think it's interesting that Ben Bulware was the only coach that Tom Allen said was doing a really good job. And he entertained questions about all the other position groups. And that was the one. And that was one of two position groups where he said that people were coming on, that people were improving. Defensive end was one, and linebacker was another one. And so I just thought that was interesting. He specifically talked about safety, how they just don't have – he didn't say we don't have any good players, but that's what I heard. We don't have any good players at safety. Let's go to – that was like the first thing he said in the press conference. Let's go to Michael in Clemson, who joined us next. Final phone call of the show. What's up, Michael?
Hello, sir. How are you?
Doing great, man. Thanks for getting in.
Yes, sir. I was calling to respond to a couple points Bryce made. You know, I'm one of those people, I do care about the character of the folks that come and play football at Clemson and that represent the university. And I hope Dabo continues focusing on character and people who can get good grades and get an education. Despite this NIL era we're living in, we're not USC. We shouldn't be lowering our standards.
Look, I agree with that, Michael. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. My point on that, I would say I'm in the middle of Bryce and Michael. Like, I do care about graduation rates. Like, how can we make fun of Georgia if Clemson stops graduating players? I mean, that's just a fun pastime that we have. But to me, if you are, this is what I said on Monday, if you are a good program of developing men, but the only men that you bring into your program, young men that you bring into your program, are already developed, if they're already made, then why does that matter? I think they have to take some chances on guys to help them that need help. And I don't see a lot of guys that come in here that need help in that way. Dabo says his program's doing a good job. I would say if he's talking about the off-field stuff, yes. But I would ask how much work needs to be done when you're bringing very good, refined people into your program at the outset.
I do want them to be good people. I do want them to graduate. But people are not buying 82,000 tickets on a Saturday to watch graduation, to watch graduates. They want to watch good football players. If I wanted to watch graduates, I'd go to graduation.
Great point. By the way, Xavier Brewer and James Skalski also on the best defensive staff Brett Venables ever
Xavier
worked
Brewer
on.
Xavier Brewer is. How about that?
That's right. I want to thank a lot of people. I want to thank Joe and Jackson Turner, Kathy Turner, for having us out here at Wendy's. Really appreciate that. I want to thank everybody who came by and bought all the merch today. People who donated on the text to give, really appreciate that as well. We have a busy show tomorrow live from Bennett Equipment and Supply in Piedmont. You can come by and see us there and get your merch with us, and maybe, just maybe, one of us will drive a pink tractor. You'll have to show up to find out, or at least follow us on social media. We got a lot of things we didn't get to today, and we will get to them tomorrow. Lots of college football. God bless. We will see you then. Walt is up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560.